Over the past several weeks, we have been reading all about stories of Israel's history when they were ruled by kings. The first king was Saul, and the second king was David. Now, up until today, we have been reading all about how David was faithful to God, and God chose David to be the king. For those of us who have grown up in the church, stories of God's faithfulness to David are common stories, and David's faithfulness to God, stories we've heard a lot. Ouch, that one hurt. Well, the stories we're going to be reading today, however, it's not a story of faithfulness. The stories we're going to be reading today involve David's mistreatment and violence towards women. We'll be reading stories that include the abuse and rape of women by David and by David's son. Previously, we read stories of how David rose to power even though his predecessor, Saul, tried to have him killed. One of the people that saved David from being murdered by Saul was Saul's daughter named Michal. Michal was attracted to David and risked her life to save David while her father tried to kill him. However, once David escaped Saul and became king, David discarded Michal like unwanted trash, even though Michal had risked her life to save David. Michal lived the remainder of her life in isolation and in loneliness. David's mistreatment of women only gets worse. We're going to turn now to the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. Now, historically, this has been a story that's been labeled as a story of adultery. Many pastors have blamed the victim in this story. However, the story we're about to read is not adultery. In adultery, there must be two consenting partners. There is no consent in this encounter. This story that we're about to read of the rape by David is followed in Scripture by another story of David's son raping his sister. Let us listen for God's holy word from 2 Samuel chapter 11.
I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Raboth, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and the gift from the king was sent with him. But Uriah slept in the entrance of the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. When David was told Uriah did not go home, he asked him, "Haven't you just come from a distance? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open fields. "How can I go to my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so that he will be struck down and die." This is the word of the Lord.
The story begins by telling us that David is home during a time when kings would normally go out to war. David is not where he is supposed to be. And what's the old saying? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. While on his roof, David notices a woman bathing on top of her roof. He inquires if she is married. He finds out that her name is Bathsheba and that she is married. But even though David finds out that she is married, David is not deterred. David sees her and he wants her. She is property to be acquired in his eyes. Bathsheba is not even safe in her own home. David, the king and the one with power in this relationship, has her brought to him where he forces her to sleep with him. It is then that we hear Bathsheba speak the only words that she is given voice to speak. She sends word to David and says, "I am pregnant." This is not adultery. Never in this story is Bathsheba presented as a willing participant. Never in this story is Bathsheba presented as a temptress. To blame her in any way is to blame the victim. David is to pursue her. David sees her. David sends for her. David rapes her. Bathsheba becomes pregnant. This story becomes even darker. After finding out that Bathsheba is pregnant, David inquires about her husband Uriah. He is a Hittite, meaning that he is a foreigner. Later, Uriah is described as one of the 30 best soldiers in David's army. But that doesn't matter to David. David needs to cover up his violence against a woman. David arranges for Uriah to return from the battlefield. David hopes that Uriah will sleep with his wife so that it will appear that she is pregnant by Uriah. But David's plan is foiled by Uriah's faithfulness. For soldiers are not supposed to sleep with their spouses when they are off at war. And Uriah proves himself a faithful soldier to David's chagrin. So David must find another way to cover up this rape. So David sends word for his army to leave Uriah and a small contingent alone in the battlefield so that he and his fellow soldiers will be slaughtered by the enemy. This time, David's plan is realized, and Uriah is killed on the battlefield. Rape followed by murder. There are so many victims in this story. There is Bathsheba, the rape victim. There is Uriah, the murder victim. There are the innocent soldiers left to die on the battlefield because of the whims of a king. But this story of darkness continues to get worse. Next part of Scripture tells the story of David's son named Amnon developing a crush on his sister Tamar. Like his father, Amnon has learned to treat women as objects to be possessed. Amnon pretends to be sick, and then Tamar, being the faithful and loving sister, cooks food for her brother and takes it to him in his room. As she enters his room, Amnon grabs her and forces himself onto his sister. Like father, like son, David and his son both rape innocent women. But the darkness in the story does not end there. For we have another cover-up. Tamar's brother tells Tamar, "Do not tell anyone about this rape." David finds out that his son has raped his daughter. But because Amnon is the oldest son, David remains quiet and does nothing about it. Although Amnon's brother ends up having Amnon killed. Another rape goes unreported, and murder follows as patriarchy wins again. Each day, 37 women are killed in family violence around the world. Every month, 50 American women are shot and killed by a spouse or partner. $2 trillion is spent every year for medical costs due to domestic violence. So what do we do about this? Unfortunately, in way too many cases, the church has contributed to the problem. We hear of the millions of dollars paid out by the Roman Catholic Church for abusive priests, and we hear of the Southern Baptist Convention coming to terms with their own cover-ups of abusive pastors and church workers. And of course, there are plenty of examples within the Presbyterian Church of cover-ups as well. So what can we do? Well, the first step is to stop being part of the cover-ups and telling victims to remain silent. And we start with the characters that we read about in the Bible. We tell the stories in the Bible in an honest and faithful way. And in the Bible are stories of powerful men taking advantage of innocent women. That's what David did. And that's what David's son did. But we also find ways to try to listen to the voices of the biblical women who have been silenced or cast aside. We listen to these women as a way to listen to the voices of women today who find themselves in the same situation. Women who have had their faithfulness turned against them. Women who have been the victims of violence but told, like Tamar, to be silent. We must be a church that is not like the churches that choose to remain silent or who choose to cover up the abuse. We must be a church which stands in solidarity with the victims of abuse rather than standing with the abusers. We must be a church that speaks out against violence. We must be a church that breaks down the structures of oppression and pursue equality where all are welcome to speak their truth. What David did was awful. It was awful. And what David's son did to his sister was awful. What church leaders and others have done to cover this kind of stuff up is awful. As followers of Jesus Christ, we stand with the victims of abuse. We listen and we help give voice to their pain. And we work for a world where violence against others is not tolerated. The good news in this story is how we respond to hearing that some powerful heroes of the Bible were also abusers of the most vulnerable. How are we going to respond? How is God going to use us to bring about redemption? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we have heard some very challenging stories, but stories which are so very real to so many folks in our communities today. So we pray to be open to your Spirit and how it guides us to respond in a faithful way to some terrible, terrible hurt and pain. We ask all these prayers through your Son's name. Amen.